Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. Emily Dickinson. All right. This is Robert Vicenz on episode 2 of Live Life Awesome, and we have a special episode today. As some of you know, currently, Mr. Robert Vicenz, yours truly, is a soldier in the United States Army, a temporary gig where I get to serve my country while learning skills and disciplines that will be invaluable to me in life. My job in the Army at the moment is to interview people, to take pictures, record video, and tell the Army story. But every now and then, you meet somebody who doesn't want their story told. At least they don't want their name put on it. Why? Because they've seen things that they don't want other people to know that they've seen. Because they are very private people. Because they've had experiences that have changed them. Experiences that have given them a perspective of life that not the average person has. And it's something that oftentimes they don't necessarily want other people to have insight on. The darker part of humanity, or the stain and pain of certain traumatic memories. Well, today I have a special story about a person that we're going to call Tango Yankee Silver. Obviously, this is not his real name. Now, Mr. Tango Yankee, straight out of high school, straight out of college, decided that he wanted to enlist in the Army and that he wanted to join Special Forces. Now, if you don't know much about the Army, I'll let you know that Special Forces are some of the elite soldiers in the United States military. In fact, you can't just be a Special Forces soldier because you want to. You have to qualify. You have to score certain things on tests, and you have to be able to pass certain qualification courses. That said, one of the most important things that it requires to be a Special Forces soldier is the desire to be a Special Forces soldier, and the personal challenge is doing what it takes to be a Special Forces soldier is different than wanting to be a Special Forces soldier, because oftentimes you might want to be something and not know exactly how it's going to transform you. If you see something on TV, living it doesn't exactly mean that it's the same thing. Not to say that Tango Yankee regrets his decision of being a soldier. We didn't get into that conversation, but I am going to share this story. But before I share the story, I'm going to ask you some questions. And here are the questions. If I told you that you could use your mind to kill somebody a mile away, just your mind, would you think that I was nuts? Would you think that was impossible? Now, let's not be so grim and so morbid, shall we? I mean, this is supposed to be a show about positivity. So let's rephrase that. If I asked you, could you do something impossible just with your mind? Maybe you might say, sure, I know that it's possible for some people, but it's not really possible for me. Many of us, we confuse above average with unique. There are very few unique people on this planet. And in fact, if you ask most of the people that we think are unique or really, really high-level performers in any area of life, we tend to think that they're magic, think that they're special, they have talent, they have something beyond what the average person has, and we don't have access to that capacity. We can't build a multi-million dollar business, we can't jump 7 feet and dunk a ball into a basket, whatever it is that we say that we quote-unquote can't do. I think we're selling ourselves short, and I'm going to use this story to prove it to you. Now, I asked you if you could drop somebody a mile away using your mind. Mr. Tango Yankee, 20 years ago, was a special forces soldier who would do just that. Drop someone using his mind. But now I'm going to pose the question to you. Was this something that made him unique and special, or is it something that was trained in him? Something that you had to learn. Okay, so Tango Yankee Silver was a sniper. He talks to me about all the things that it takes in order to fire a round that travels 1 mile and hits the target that he's decided to hit. Now, I'm not going to lie, even if I am in the army, it's not like I understood what that really means. But let me tell you some of the factors that go in to firing a round that travels a mile and hits the target. Thing number one, firing a tracer round. Thing number two, keeping a guidebook or a Bible in your leg pocket. Thing number three, testing the wind so that you can calculate how the wind is going to affect the trajectory of a round. Thing number four, I think we're on number four. Thing number four, deciding in the learning distance by repetition. In other words, being able to tell how far 200 meters is, how far 300 meters is, and choosing an object within that range to use as a mental anchor. The next thing, because I lost count of how many numbers, I think we're on thing number five. Being still and being present in the moment. Thing number six, taking a deep breath. And thing number seven, pulling the trigger. Seven things that it takes to take down a target a mile away. Let's get into this and start applying it into our lives and really understand this very simple concept. If we want, we have a dream. If we have some target, some goal that we're shooting at in our lives, we have to know what we're aiming at. We have to see the target, whether that's seeing it with our eyes or seeing it through the scope. We have to know where the target is. A mile away is a little hard to see just with your naked eye, but not so hard if you've got support. So maybe that should be thing number eight, having a little bit of aerial support, having a forward or having a forward observer, somebody out front who could tell you where the target is so that you know what the target is that you're shooting at, even if it's a mile or more away. So first, you have to know where it's at. So I started with thing number one being firing a tracer round, because that's the first thing that Mr. Tango Yankee told me about that I started to think was fascinating. Now, of course, before he fires the tracer round, he does a few of the things that I mentioned later, but let me just tell you about the tracer round, because for me, repeating a story in the order that I heard it is honestly the easiest way to capture all the information as fresh as it possibly can be. So here we go. He fires a tracer round so that he knows where his bullet is going to miss. A tracer round is a round that has color. Now, I don't know if he could see with his naked eye, probably not. He could see it most likely through his scope. But the idea is he knows where the target is. He looks at it through his scope, he pulls the trigger, and the tracer round moves through space and lands somewhere. Of course, it lands close to the target, but it misses. In fact, listen to this, he expects it to miss. He expects that he's going to need to adjust his sights. He knows he's going to fail on the first shot, but he's gotten so good at this point, he only needs to fire one tracer round. In life, we go through life thinking that if we fail, we're losers. If we fail, we are failures. But this misses one of the most fundamental parts of doing anything worth doing. When you know where you're going and you're confident in your skills, which you've learned, which I'm going to show you, you have to learn these skills. You don't just get suddenly good at taking down a target or a goal that's a mile away. You have to practice, you have to have training, you have to have a Bible, you have to have support. A lot of these factors that we're going to go through. But the first thing is to know that to hit the target, you've got to miss first. You have to fail, especially if the further away the target is, the more confident that you need to be that you're going to fail. In fact, you should expect it. Failure, therefore, isn't really failure. It's simply a tracer round fired through space to give the shooter, or in this case, the goal maker, the dreamer, you, a frame of reference for where you're at this moment. Failing, therefore, is almost like the first step. No, not like. It is the first step to calibrating the course, to adjusting the sights. So he fires his tracer round, and he goes into his book, which was thing number two. His Bible, he called it, that every sniper keeps in his leg pocket. He pulls it out. Why? Because he's read it so many times, he doesn't remember what the information is in there? No, because he wants to have a frame of reference, because he knows that it's not about memorizing facts, but it's about following the discipline of certain steps. Even airplane pilots who've been flying for 30 years have a checklist that they need to go through before they do anything. Well, so does the sniper when he's adjusting his fire. So he takes out his book. He knows from his sights and how to read his instruments what information he needs to find in his book. And of course, the pages are brown from all the fingerprints, all the times that he's gone through it. He's got tabs in there and markings and notes to help him read through his material more quickly according to what he most commonly needs. He uses his point of reference and he adjusts his sights. He calibrates one factor, he calibrates another factor. He calibrates according to the wind, which was number three or four. I forget the order, so now at this point, just bear with me, okay? The wind. He knows that when he fires, the wind is going to affect the trajectory of the round. He's already written down the speed of the wind, the obstacles that are going to get in his way. He takes that and he multiplies it by numbers in his book and estimates the distance according to his frame of reference. He's shooting a mile out, but he can't see a mile out. And a mile out, it looks the same as 300 meters, 400 meters. It's just smaller. Our depth perception at that range is a little bit flawed. So he's got his 200 and 300 or 300 meter frame of reference. A tree here, a boulder there. And now he knows, if I calibrate according to these sights, where I fired my tracer round, I know if I use these formulas, I can adjust the fire so that the next time that I shoot, it's going to hit its mark. Before he shoots, he has to make sure that he doesn't move, because after he makes his adjustments, he's already committed to where he's going to shoot and what the numbers and figures are. He needs to make sure that he doesn't make any sudden movements and accidentally jolt the scope just one infinitesimal millimeter off of its course. He has to take a deep breath to still his mind. He's committed to the course of action, he exhales, and he pulls the trigger. So you're gonna have to forgive me if I've missed any of the numbers. I said there were seven or eight things. But what's fascinating about somebody who is as precise as a sniper, what's fascinating about living with such precision is that it takes training and practice. It takes understanding the purpose of failure. It takes knowing that you need to follow the discipline of checking your numbers, of following your guidebook, of having a manual to refer to, of having frames of references. So many times I've met people, and I've fallen victim to this idea myself, that we can do anything, and if we ask for help, we're somehow weaker, or we're somehow less. Well, the most precise people on the planet have coaches, have guidebooks, have checklists, have processes that they have ingrained in their memory so that they could recite them word by word without referring back to the manual. But the only reason they are able to do that is because they will not take their eyes off the manual. They follow the path, the checklist. They follow the protocol, the discipline of checking their X's and their Y's, making sure that all their calculations are precise. They know the obstacles that are going to be in their way. They know that the wind is going to change the trajectory of their bullet. They know that the curvature of the earth is such that when you fire a round in the air, the round is going to drop. Another interesting thing, he knows exactly what powders need to be inside of the rounds, whether it's gray powder, black powder. He named a couple of other ones. Special powders with different projectile strength. All of those little calculations that are trained in his mind. Did he know these things when he was born? No. Do any of us know what it takes to be successful in the things that we want to be successful in before we try? No. Before we fail? No. We need to fail. It's part of adjusting course. It's part of changing our tactics. The quicker you can adjust, the more accurately you'll be walking down the line, more accurately you will be firing to hit your target. But you can't adjust course unless you fire and miss. What high-level performers know is that the more that you practice good practice, following disciplines and protocols, having a coach in place, having support from the air, telling you where the target is, asking for help, all of these things are not weakness. They're signs of extreme strength, of extreme precision. So my challenge to you for living life awesome today is to contemplate, how precise are you in all of the things that you do to get you where you really want to go? I have a suspicion that many of you listening have at some point or other lost sight of where it is even that you are shooting towards. The mile away target, the dream, the goal, it's become blurry such that you're just walking on autopilot. I know it's happened to me many times where I've lost sight of the things that are most important. I get distracted by all the shiny objects. And if you'll remember from yesterday, from last episode, one of the things that we talked about was getting perspective. The higher up in the air you go, the further away from your problems you get, the more you realize how important they really are. Not very, especially from the perspective of being dead. Oh yeah, we got grim again. Don't wait until you're dead or about to die to get perspective. Get perspective now. If you've got a place where you want to go in your life, a direction that you want to head, but you don't know what the direction is, you just have a feeling of there has to be something better than this, which I know so many people have. I know so many of you have. I know I have had it so many times. Where am I really going? Why am I doing what I'm doing? How does this work that I'm doing to sustain my life really play into the bigger picture of my life? When we lose sight of that, what am I doing any of this for? We've lost sight of that mile away target. We can lose sight of the 300 meter target or the 50 meter target or even what's right in front of us. So the challenge is, contemplate, how precise are you living today? How much precision are you using to conduct your life so that you're moving in a direction? Sure, we're all breathing, we're all eating, we're all sleeping, and doing some other things, including paying taxes. Well, some of us pay taxes. But whatever it is that you're doing, are you going to keep doing just that until you die? Would the moment before you die, if you started asking yourself, did I live a life well lived? Was this day even something that I was living for some greater purpose? For some awesome purpose? Was I living an awesome life or not? If you can look at your life right now and say, yes, I am living an awesome life, I'm super excited, then great! That's awesome, that's great news. Let's do it together. Let's bring that to others. Let's show people how precisely we can live so that we can shoot at our dreams, which sometimes can be as far out as a mile away, and take that target down with our minds. But don't remember, do remember. Do remember that we can't do it alone. It takes practice, it takes training, it takes precision, it takes following a guide. It takes having perspective from the air or someone else to give you perspective, because you have to have a coach. You have to have people that you go to that can have an objective opinion about the things that you're doing, even if they disagree with you, even if they're against what you're doing. You know what? Having that sounding board to make you more convinced of what you believe already, sometimes that can be valuable. Of course, unless you believe that, I don't know, aliens are telling you that you need to go kill everybody inside of a supermarket. Ah, we got grim again. Man, this show's supposed to be positive. All right. Sometimes we do need to be open-minded. And we do need to change our mind. In fact, we need to try different things often so that we can fail, see the impact of our actions, and adjust fire. But the best way to adjust fire, remember, is by having a little guidebook in your pocket. But don't forget. Don't forget that soldier, Mr. Tango Yankee Silver, was a sniper. His job was to take down bad guys, to take down enemies that were going to harm his fellow soldiers. Now, whatever you believe about war and politics, personally, I believe that we should all strive towards world peace, and that our enemy is really just different, not necessarily better or worse than we are. Whatever you believe about war, that soldier was executing his training. How much training have you done in your life to execute what you dream for your life? That's what we need to contemplate. There will be obstacles in your path. There will be things that hold you back. But are you going to let it? Or are you going to believe that there is truly the possibility of living an awesome life, and that all you need to do is go out there and find the answers? But before you find answers, you have to know the questions. So stay tuned to Live Life Awesome. Maybe next time we'll talk about some questions that we should be asking in our lives if we want to be living awesome, if we want to live our best lives. But for now, let's just ask ourselves this one question. How precisely am I living my life? And what is my mile away target?